Okay, guess we're there. Just some practical things with the recordings from last week. I had a very strange thing. One was without picture, one was without sound, so the combination should work. But we'll try to be better on this, so I'll make the same types of recordings this time. But just some practical things for the... recordings, when you go to this, well, in Blackboard, you have a link, you should see a link to Blackboard Collaborate. And when you go into Blackboard Collaborate, I think you will find a menu here somewhere. Maybe I can't do this while I take recordings. But at least not inside the room, but before you go into the room, you will have a left side menu there where you actually can choose between ready-made recordings. So the previous week's recordings should be available there somewhere. The other source for recordings is this forelesing at hig.no. So it's there should be available recordings in different formats. And if we're lucky, I'm not sure if the picture, there is some technical problems, I think, here. Meaning that this picture won't be recorded on the main recording. But maybe it works today, I'm not sure. I have told support about this, so hopefully this will be fixed. But anyway, there are two recordings, and some audio should go through anyway. Let me just do some practical things here now to give you a picture. So, these are some of the terms that we touched in the end of last lecture. The term variables, what is an independent and a dependent variable. The dependent variable, again, is what you try to measure in the situation, and you want to see whether that is depending on what you either introduce or want to look at in the situation, which then is the independent variable. Typically, the independent variable is what you manipulate in the situation or what you want to see whether affects something else. So this is how to interpret this. In order to make this... of any use, well, we need to have an idea that what these variables consist, what we mean by the variables, what is their content, and in some sometimes they may be kind of vague in the way they formalize or formulate things. And I gave you the task of trying to see whether how to, well, both find what variables are involved and which variables you may need to operationalize, define more in detail, and how that definition might be. So anyone, a specific, let's say this speeding campaign, what are the variables here? Anyone dares to give an answer? Anyone want to try? What's the independent variable, Johnny? Yeah, it could be that that's if that's what you were after, but would that have something to do with the speed? I would say that's a third variable. We're getting to that problem, but speeding camera. But then we're back to operationalization again. That's how to operationalize the variables. Well, let me be more precise. What is the independent variable in this case? What would you say is the independent first row here? Huh? The campaign itself, yeah. Because that's what we're wondering about. Does the campaign work? How we play science, etc. Well, maybe that affects the same thing, but our main question is, does this campaign reduce speeding? So it's the campaign itself, and that's pretty. I think that's a pretty straightforward independent variable in this case. We have other variables which are also independent, but which we would consider like third variables in this case, or confounding variables. But we'll get there. So the dependent variable then. Anyone dependent? Either the speed, yeah. Okay, so now we have an independent and a dependent variable, the campaign itself and speed. But do they need to be operationalized? Does any of these need to be operationalized? Yeah, at least you need to define what campaign you're talking about, but we know what campaign it is. It's this campaign with the signs that we put along the road. So I'd say for me the campaign itself is pretty straightforward here. It's unambiguous what it is, but the dependent variable. Yes. Yeah. What do we mean by reduced speed? It reduces speeding. It can probably be measured in many ways. The mean speed. Is that what we mean? Do we mean the number of cars going more than 10? Kilometers too fast over a given stretch of the road? Do we mean maximum speed? Maybe we could define it as the number of accidents. Wouldn't be too straightforward, but maybe it's possible. Yeah? So. Of course, this one needs to be defined. It can be many of these things. And we can have a number of ways number of operationalizations, number of ways to measure the dependent variable. But anyway, in this case, it's not too complicated, right? It's something to do with speed. Or it can be, we can make it into a sophisticated secondary measure that is the number of accidents or something like that. But it's pretty straightforward, but what about the other one? In this first one, we have to define what we mean by reduced speeding, which is the dependent variable. In the second one, it's of course a lot more difficult. Did anyone? Well, let's just do the ritual thing and define the independent variable. Independent, anyone? Huh? Meditation. Yeah. In its basic form, it's meditation. Because that's what we state in the problem definition here. Meditation. And what's the dependent? Better human. But of course, both of these are pretty hard to define, aren't they? Did anyone try to define this? How can we operationalize the independent variable here? Yeah, try. Yeah. So you need to define meditation, like what type of meditation. There are so many forms of meditation. There are so many things that are recognized as meditation. Is it watching an aquarium? Is it following a course in mindfulness? Is it, it could be before and after a course in mindfulness, I don't know. It could be people who do transcendental meditation. Well, at least you have to define it, because you can't just stop with this term. And a lot of science, as when it is, let's say, reported in newspapers, for instance, you often see this elevated measurement, the type meditation. That's what you will see in the headline or in the text in a newspaper. Well, when you read the scientific paper that this is based on, you typically see a much more detailed definition of what do we mean by meditation. And this second term here, right, the dependent variable, better humans, is probably even a lot more difficult. I'm not sure if anyone even tried to do that one. It could be totally subjective, and then we would have a very bad operationalized variable. But maybe you can be creative and then do some operationalization of it. Okay. Better human internally. Your well-being is reported to be better. And how you feel. Okay, the number of interactions you do in a group session before and after being to meditation. That could be a quantifiable one. How many items of something do you sell today? Then you're a better human. I'm not sure. Thing is, or maybe there is an internationally recognized measurement scale of happiness that you can apply. Or being better, or something like that. Being betterness, huh? Have the happiness index. Maybe you can use something like that. So, but you need to say what you are doing. You need to say what you're trying to measure. That's the point. And without saying that, well, it could be anything. And you need to say it in order to make it possible for others at a later stage to say something about this. We'll get back to some of these examples a little later. So how do we get to these ideas about formulating a research problem? What do we do to formulate the research problem? It can be a number of things. Let's say in the ideal academic world, it is, for instance, something like previously done research. it's theory. It's problems defined by other literature. That's the ideal scientific world. But of course, it can be a lot of other things as well. It can be people's failures in some ways. It can be why do we give up all these passwords? Why do we get lured into these internet fraud things? It can be a number of real things from the world. It can be something you see in a newspaper that makes you wonder. The thing is, these things can come from anywhere. That's the point. But in order to make this into research that's doable for you in a master thesis connection, I'd say make it into your own. It's usually not a very good idea to just hook up to an idea that you're really not that interested in and where you don't want to put a lot of effort into it. So make it your own. Make it something you're interested in. A few of these slides I skipped last week. Some of these lists at least agree on a number of things that has to do with what do we mean by having a scientific approach to something. Well, at least it involves some kind of observation, some kind of systematization of either the effect of what you do or the performance of what you do or the number of users or something. It involves some kind of observation of what you are doing. That's a key thing. And it needs to be described in a very formalized way in so much detail that others can repeat what you are doing. And of course, you need to do what you say you are doing. The two other words I mentioned in this slide, reliable and valid, are, of course, important thing. Reliable means stable. Valid means, in its basic form, can you transfer the information to other contexts? Is it true? Not just an artifact. We'll get to these terms because they are kind of central when you are communicating research and doing research and planning research. It should involve some level of prediction where you say that any... It's a phenomena that you observe or an effect that you observe is not just a case. It's not something that just happened at random that you can't explain why it happened or what consequences they have. So you need to put it into some context so you actually can predict a relationship between as we mentioned, for instance, an independent variable and a dependent variable. You need to have control of the situation so that you actually eliminate as much as you can alternative explanations to what you are dealing with. That it's actually you who control the situation in some way, that your relationship between an independent and a dependent variable is the one that we are dealing with. Next comes falsifiability, that you are able to eliminate the all plausible, I say here, or all variables that you are able to identify. alternative explanations shouldn't be possible for the phenomena that you observe. In case they are possible, you should discuss them and make it available to others as well. And finally, and this is the topic that we're going to continue with now, is this the problem of causality, that something leads to something else. That we are able to identify what the causes of something is, what is leading to something else. That's a central thing when it comes to causality. But another criteria is that things also should co-vary, meaning that they should appear in a systemized way, so that when one thing increases, the other thing increases as well, or when one thing increases, the other one falls, something like that. So you should be able to say something about something occurring in a systemized way. That's covariation or correlation. And you should also establish some time order relationship, that something happens before something else, and then you have established a relationship between an independent and a dependent variable. And all these criteria are met. This is a very idealized setting where what I put up on the top here is a situation where we do a test, we do a manipulation, we do something new in the situation, so we knew how it was before, that was the test one, we manipulate, and then we measure what happens afterwards. And we keep everything under control. So the only thing that we vary is what we are interested in. So this is a very ideal setting, right? And this is taking control over an experimental setting. And of course, the reason we want to do this, it's the world isn't as clear as this. It's almost impossible to do it as clearly as this. The reason we do it is that we want to determine causality, that there actually is a cause-effect relationship happening here. But it's not always easy to get this to establish this cause-effect relationship. Let's just try an example. Well, we had this example with the with this speeding campaign, right? We have some clever scientists have wanted to investigate whether this campaign worked, and what they did was that they, let's say they were clever, they measured the mean speed on a given stretch of road between Gjøvik and Lillehammer on a certain day before the campaign was introduced and after the campaign was introduced. And yes, they concluded that the average speed was reduced by 8 kilometers an hour. So they were good at this. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but let's skip the wibble. That's something we'll go to when we go to statistics. I'd say the average speed here was reduced from 82 to 74 kilometers an hour. Agree on that? So we're pretty happy. We say the campaign worked. But as a critical researcher, what questions would you have to ask? Did something else happen here? More speed bumps? Yeah, could be. Maybe the weather changed. Maybe it was a different. Maybe the weather conditions was different. Maybe it was dark even, because it was rainy on the second observation. Did they know the equipment was working properly? That's an issue of reliability. What you tried to measure, did you use the same instruments? And too complicated, was it the same people who did use the instruments, and did they use it the same way? These are questions you have to ask, yes? Yeah, it could be an event, something happening, it was a big... Actually, this day you actually had traffic jams on the way from Gjøvik to Lillehammer, which is highly unlikely, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't experienced it. But it may happen. other things? Well, maybe there had been an accident some days before. Maybe you've had a lot of media coverage on this. Meaning that to in a good way say that there actually is a cause relationship between your campaign and the effect that you actually measured. It's not enough to hypothesize that it had to do with the campaign. Well, you have to state all the other factors here as well, and you have to discuss them. And you have to make them clear, and ideally you have to measure them in a good way. Well, to systemize this, there are a number of you saw these things already, of course. History, maturation, that's one we didn't mention in the examples here. It means some stuff just develops. Maybe not the speeding, maybe it's difficult to use this example there, but let's say you're measuring writing capabilities or reading speed in kids. If you measure them when they are 8 and when they are 9, they're probably faster when they are 9 than when they were 8. Of course, just a stupid example, but these some things just mature when you're getting used to something. When it was new, you react differently to things compared to when it's a bit older. So when you are trying to measure, for instance, the effect of some technology, well, maybe the appearance of or the way you have gotten used to this kind of technology has changed the whole picture from one measurement to another measurement. And some of these effects are kind of hard to... hard to measure. Let's see, test effects, if I'm measuring that in some other connection. Maybe not, but we'll get to it when we are talking about questionnaires. The fact that we actually are measuring something and that those we measure may be aware of this consciously or unconsciously, that we actually see that someone is measuring our speed or someone is counting our reading speed or someone is observing us may affect our behavior in a certain way. Now, for instance, when we do research on eye trackers and stuff like that, that the instruction that we give people, that we make them aware of what we are after, strongly affects their behaviors. So for instance, if you say that you are going to look for the most important or the most important person in a picture, you will behave completely different. And you may be unaware that you are doing these things. But testing something in itself may affect this. Of course, we have touched the stuff on reliability, that the instrument we use for measuring something is stable. Can that change? Was it the same instrument? Was there some new things that had been introduced? If you use a questionnaire to measure a dependent variable, was it exactly the same questionnaire, or did you change something in between? And we also have something called the regression effect. Any second observation we do of something is more likely to be close to the mean than more far away from the actual true value. So it's more likely that one individual observation is extreme than that the next one is, and that has to do with normal distributions and stuff like that. So this is measurable, and this is called the regression effects. So any second measurement you do has a tendency to be less extreme than the first one. So that's also something. So when you are doing few measurements, you may have difficulties with some of these phenomena. Another thing is that we have this tendency to overstate the importance of the phenomena of covariation, that something appears on the same time. Yeah, you've heard this this kind of classic example that ice cream sales and the number of shark attacks and swimmers are highly correlated in Australia, meaning that on warm, meaning that on days where you eat a lot of ice cream, well, there is a higher likelihood to be eaten by a shark. Of course, this could mean that sharks are like ice cream, like people that has eaten ice cream. But most probably there is a third variable involved, right? That it's actually warm. Shirt length and stock prices. If you go to this link I have given you here, you can find a link to a book with examples of these strange types of correlations. Of course, we don't know. Sometimes you can explain them by a third variable. Sometimes it's just numbers that happen to covary. There is a few examples in that book on the number of Nicolas Cage films and suicides, for instance, which probably isn't could be correct, of course. Okay, cheap cars and suicides in Japan. Cheap American. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you can find, if you have enough numbers to crunch and enough things to or to try to combine, you tend to find these strange relationships. Sometimes you can explain them, sometimes not, but the point here is that unless you have a clear idea, a theory of what lies behind this connection between a cause and an effect, or something, if you don't have an idea about a cause and an effect relationship, if you don't have a theory for why ice cream sales should increase the number of shark attacks, well, then it has kind of little value. So some of this correlational research unless it's supported by some theories, which again can be tested at a later stage, has kind of little value, I would say. So this is the problem of correlation. Another main problem we have when it comes to establishing a causal relationship is the direction problem. What leads to what? Even if we observe something, is it the right connection that we have made here? Is it the right conclusions that we have made up? The text is that I'm using here is Holberg's Jeppe på Bjerge. Jeppe has a miserable life, right? And there are two explanations for why Jeppe's life is so miserable. Well, according to his mother, it's because he drinks. According to Jeppe, he drinks because his life is so miserable. So, and in a lot of research, you may have challenges on these things. We have a strain of research, you could call it in media science, in psychology, in other areas of society, that tries to make a connection between media and violence or aggression or, all these things. And this research is kind of difficult to do. And let us just take a little example here. In the 50s, 60s in the States, there was a big uproar among some people on where they tried to say that seeing a lot of TV was bad for children. They became more violent when they were exposed to violence on TV. We have the same debates now on video games, more and more realistic video games. Virtual reality is the latest one. It's more dangerous than playing on the TV. TV was more dangerous than reading things in books. Playing games on video console or watching videos that you could rent was worse than just looking at the TV, because of lack of control. So we've had these debates all the time. But at least in the 60s, there was actually some scientists who managed to measure more aggression among kids who watched more TV. And they measured aggression in many ways. The number of they measured swearing. They measured fights in schools. They measured the likelihood that a kid could get into fights. They measured other kids' judgment of aggression levels of kids, so peer observation. And they made a number of these methods, and it tended to show a kind of a clear relationship, actually, between the numbers of hours that you spent in front of the TV and how aggressive you were. So this probably means, or this could mean, that looking at TV or looking at violence on TV makes you into a more aggressive person. But of course, the direction problem, as we say here, gives us an alternative explanation as well. And that is, aggressive kids are attracted to TV. So we have this tendency to, so there is an alternative explanation. But what can we do to investigate this then? Because, of course, this is done in different ways. So you've let people choose between activities, for instance, based on the previous measurement of aggression levels. You can combine it with that to get more insight into it. You can try to see whether this is a linear function. Does it go for all, or does it just go for some? And the you can say the if I shortcut this discussion now a little bit, because the general idea today is that for most kids it doesn't matter at all. It's not a measurable effect, but for some it is. So if you have some kind of a vulnerability, if you're sensitive to this kind of exposure, if you are in the risk group in some way, let's not discuss how you got into this risk group, but in that case, seeing a lot of TV affects you. But for most, it doesn't matter. But so you need to apply more and more, could say, sophisticated methods in order to investigate a phenomena like this. Okay, let's end up with this one. And that's maybe an even more challenging problem to handle, which we touched in the first example. Does this speed campaign work? And that is the general problem we tend to have with third variables. The effects, or the explanatory effect of something else that has happened. I have been part of some research where we had a lot of people reporting their sensation-seeking. It can be measured in different ways. There are tools for measuring this. Sensation-seeking meaning that you are attracted to either scary things, things that are scary in some way, or you're attracted to looking at violence, you're attracted you tend to be aroused by, or you need stronger stimuli than others, and we are different in these ways. It can have something to do with the strength of the stimuli, but also the quality of the stimuli, that it has to be some risk thing involved. And this can be measured in many ways. We used one tool for this, and this was included in a very large public health study with kids and with adults as well. So we had a number of age groups involved. And when we looked at sensation seeking, we found a relationship between sensation-seeking, or measuring high on this sensation-seeking scale, and a number of factors. And one of these factors was, for instance, sexual habits, frequency, different measurements. But the problem is, when you go closer into these numbers, it may